is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Today, we're continuing in our little series, our mini-series, talking about Isaiah 53, that God wants healing for us, that Jesus bought and paid for our healing. Let's look at Isaiah 53, just by way of review. Let's focus in on verses 4, 5, and 6. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried away. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he, Jesus, was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening for our well-being, our shalom, fell on him. And by his scourging, or his stripes, we are healed. And all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. This is a central passage in Christian understanding, that Jesus became the guilt offering, the lamb for our sins. So Jesus died for our sins. Most four-year-olds who grew up in the church can tell you, oh, Jesus died for our sins. And most people understand that's the central teaching of Christianity. And here it is. Jesus did die for our transgressions, how we transgressed and disobeyed. He died for our iniquities. In other words, he was the offering that paid for those. So he took away the sin of the entire world. All of the sin of humanity was placed on Jesus. But also, this is what we believe as Christians. But also, it says right here in the same verse that our griefs or our sicknesses, our sorrows or our pains he carried. Not just simply our sin, not just simply relationship with God, not just simply taking us to heaven, but giving us a new life here and now on earth. Our life will be everlasting in terms of it going on and on. We will simply sleep. We will not die because we have the life of God in us and we are in Christ. We only sleep. We do not die when our body is too tired or broken to go on. Our spirit lives on and we go to heaven and we know this. But that is not all, and that's simply not good enough. But we have eternal life, a life of a different quality because God lives in us and we live in Christ. Yes, heaven is promised to us, but heaven should be manifesting on earth, and one day it will entirely. But it is our job to take the land that's given to us, just as the children of Israel were given the promised land, but they had to take it also. And so we need to take by faith the grace that has been given to us. This is what the scripture teaches. And so if this is true with sin, it is also true with healing. For the chastening for our well-being, our shalom, total well-being, fell on him, on Jesus, and by his scourging we are healed. There is no warrant in the Hebrew for thinking that this, once again, is only spiritual healing. The Hebrew mind wouldn't think that way. If it says healing, it means healing. So, sure, we are healed spiritually. Sure, we are healed emotionally. But there is no reason to exclude healing of our bodies. None at all. That's not even a Hebrew way of thinking. By his stripes, we are healed. This is what it says in the authorized version that's so good for memorization. By his scourging, we are healed. That's the plain meaning of Scripture. And many of us have seen it in our lives, just as we have seen people who have changed their lives from a gutter life to a paragon of virtue because of the healing work in salvation. So we have seen bodies who have been miraculously put back together and people walking around talking and being competent people who were given 0% chance of living. That's happened in my family. And I have received healings myself, maybe not that dramatic, and I hope I never have to go through something that dramatic. But my grandson sure did. 0% chance of living, scraped off the asphalt. The bones of his face were smashed into his brain, and there is no explanation why they're not there today. But they're not. They're in face shape. And the CT scans showed brains that were pretty damaged. And he had problems before he was in the automobile accident. But he is healed today. On the honor roll. And the nurses laughed at me when I suggested he would walk out of the hospital. And they knew I was completely around the bend when I hoped that he would be going to the bathroom and talking. And in fact, in 2 weeks, he was walking and talking and going to the bathroom. In 3 weeks, he was discharged and playing with his brother. And the doctors have no explanation. And this is not an unusual story. Thousands of people will tell you that they have experienced the same thing. But experience is not as strong as the Word of God. If you are saved, you know this. Hallelujah. And we talked last time about the triumphal verses in the end of the chapter, that Jesus not only was scourged, not only was crucified, not only was dead and buried, and we are told in another place, went to hell, but he was resurrected and bodily. And this is a very important point, bodily resurrection. Resurrected. He was highly exalted and happy. Okay, happy. He planted a seed and he got a harvest. He saw his triumph. Amen. And so from there, let us go on to Isaiah, the 54th chapter. And this, of course, originally was aimed at the children of Israel. And it has so much meaning. And we, as engrafted ones into that elect of God, it is to all of us. But there is so much that also is so meaningful to mothers, and particularly single mothers in some cases. So let us go through this. There's so much richness, preciousness here. I couldn't possibly talk about all of it at once, but let's hear the words of Scripture. What is the outworking? If Jesus has done this work of crucifixion, death, and resurrection for us, then what does that mean for us, particularly those of us who are parents, educators, people who are taking care of children? Hear now the words of Scripture, Isaiah 54, starting in verse 1. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. So, in the first instance, of course, this meant Israel, that they would be fruitful and multiply, and that their hard times would be over. For so many of us, it means we will be happy with children. Many of us are not barren and are married, but nevertheless, I believe it is a promise that we will be fruitful in the realm of our children. So even if we are single, we have spiritual children, children that we are responsible for. Many of us have biological children, but we want to be fruitful in more than simply the material. Many of us are not concerned of having many children because of our economics and our culture today. But the children we do have, we want them to be in shalom and fruitful, right? Not just any apples, not just some old rotten apples that are messing up the rest of the barrel, but those shining, wonderful golden apples. This is what we want for our children. And this is the outgrowth. 54 is the outgrowth of 53. We are promised joy and fruitfulness because of the seed that Jesus was. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess the nation, and they will resettle the desolate cities. And your descendants will possess the nations, and they will resettle the desolate cities. So this is saying, in the first place, that Israel will flourish. In the second place, to us individually, that we will flourish and prosper, and our households will flourish and prosper. And I would suggest even our figurative households, because we have many people who are in our charge. If we have classrooms, we have work teams, we have people that we are responsible for. And this promises an increase. This promises increase, and we can have good increase because of what Jesus did for us. Because we are brought close to God, we are brought back into righteousness, and our sicknesses and our weaknesses and our infirmities are healed in Christ. Hallelujah. And therefore, not just us, but also our descendants, and they will be in leadership in our society. And they will bring back that which was taken away. A desolate city. Once a place that was once inhabited and now barren will be brought back into fruitfulness. And our children will expand and have their kingdom, which is God's kingdom on the earth. Hallelujah. Eden growing through the planet. And then there are more verses that have to do with our covenant of love, because this is the outgrowth of 53. So hear the words of Isaiah 54, starting in verse 4. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. Neither feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. So you see that we are brought nigh to God because of the Lamb that was slain. Again, many levels of meaning. I hope that this is a great comfort to the many women who are single, divorced, widowed, unwed mothers in our society. We have so many of them. And God would reach out to you. Yes, He would, regardless of what some old church person said. Yes, God has a special plan for widows and special plan for women who are forsaken. And even if you were at fault in that, God has forgiveness. Do you remember Isaiah 53? He took away our sin. It would like to bring you back. And it's because God is loving. God originally had a good plan. Yes, it was messed up, but that was not God's fault. And God's plan had redemption in it. It got messed up and He fixed it up. And we don't like to say fixed up because that's not thoroughgoing enough. But I think that's as good a way as I can express it in this moment, that God created it perfect and it was broken, and God had a plan to mend it back together and better than it was before. So, hallelujah. And this also for our families. Our families are broken, and God has a plan to put them back together, fix them, mend them, and make them better than ever before. And how? Through Jesus' sacrifice. That's exactly how. And your maker is your husband. If you don't have a husband, God can be your husband. Yep, and takes away the shame. And for those of you who are not single women, maybe you ought to realize this. God doesn't look upon those women with shame. And if you want to be aligned with God, neither will you. But there are many children who are in broken homes. And it was God's plan originally to have a mother and a father, and I believe an extended family also. And many, probably most, More than 50% in our culture are without this. But God has a plan for this, and this will arise through the Messiah's work. Yes. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she was rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In an outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. This is talking about the judgment on sin, as well as the judgment on Israel when they were disobedient. But the Lord is abidingly compassionate. This is his nature, is the intention to do good to us because God is love, yes? And this talks about the eternality, the strength, the enduring reality of God's love for us and his covenant of grace through Jesus. For this is like the days of Noah to me when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. So if you're feeling guilty today, that's maybe, well, it might be conviction of the Holy Spirit. Run to God. But if it is condemnation, it is just a torment of the devil. So just say, Jesus, I receive your blood that you shed. I receive your grace. And on the strength of the blood of Jesus, Father, I come to you and I will not be separated. I receive the gift that you have given me. I believe the report. Hallelujah. By his stripes, you are healed. Spirit, soul, and body. That's what we're talking about. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace, of shalom, shall not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. The strength, the eternality, the enduring reality of the covenant of God's shalom with us. In Jesus, it is done. It is finished. That's it. Receive it, and you got it. Right? Live in it. The Lord is not here to rebuke you. The Lord is here to bring you back. And Jesus was the picture written in blood. My loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of shalom will not be shaken. Yes, the mountains may fall down. The rivers may run uphill. The planet may be gone, but God's love remains. This we know. God's covenant will remain because God is not an Indian giver, and he gave us grace in Jesus. So you receive it. You stand up and receive it. And speaking once again to Israel, verse 11, O afflicted ones, storm-tossed and not comforted. And speaking to me and you too, right? Does that not apply to us? O afflicted ones, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay with sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies, and your gates of crystals, and all your wall of precious stones. So we are given wealth and riches and gifts, also spiritual gifts. So a woman who was desolate and rejected now is brought back and showered with precious jewelry. Yes, this is the picture. And now here is my favorite verse, verse 13. And all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord. This is the personal name of God. All. You know what that means in Hebrew? All. All your offspring, and this includes your grandchildren, will be taught of the Lord. In fact, this is how Jesus read this scripture because it's recorded in the New Testament. And the well-being of your sons will be great. This is how it reads in the New American Standard. How I would translate it would be, and the shalom of your offspring. And great will be the shalom of your offspring. This is how I like to say it. the well-being, the peace, the prosperity, the state of nothing missing, nothing broken of all your offspring will be great. Rav Shalom B'Neid. Hallelujah. Is that not good? That is the promise of God to you. Based in Isaiah 53, the result is Isaiah 54, and you and your household may be saved. So apply this to your children, all of your offspring, your children and your grandchildren, shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. Yes. Well, of course, if they're taught of the Lord, then obviously their shalom would be great, yes? Are they the learned of God? This could also be translated the learned of God. But Jesus read it, taught of the Lord. And not just taught about God, but his personal name is used, that the Lord himself teaches us and our children. Oh, is that not awesome? Is that not awesome? How many times have I studied well and wondered if I really knew enough? Because, after all, who was it that I was learning from? But the King of the universe has brought us back, has showered us with gifts, has made us his own family in an everlasting covenant. This is one reason why marriage should be permanent, because it is supposed to be a covenant that demonstrates God's covenant. But God is not an Indian giver. God is not a worthless husband. God is the King of the universe, and his very nature is love. And he has brought us into his family, showered us with gifts, and promised us well-being for our children. Hallelujah. And then the last, skipping down to the last bit of the chapter. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication, their justification, is from me, declares the Lord. Again, using the personal name of God. So I challenge you today, if you believe in salvation, if you believe in God, this God who reaches out to us in salvation, this God who sent Jesus to die for your sins, then also believe the God who wants all well-being for your children and receive it in the same way. Don't just say, oh, fine, Jesus died for my sin, and then live life like it hasn't changed. No, you are brought into covenant, just as if you were a wife of the King of the universe. And therefore, it makes no sense to resign yourself if your child has some deficiency. That makes no sense. You have been given gifts in the covenant, just as when you are married to a rich man, all of a sudden you are rich. Besides the fact that he gives you gifts specifically, if you live in Texas, community property state, you're rich when you marry a rich man. And then the same way, when you come into covenant with God, he has good for you. And he specifically promises shalom for your children. So in the same way you receive salvation, receive healing for mind and soul and body for your children. You and your children will be saved, just as it says right here. And all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. Amen. We receive it. Lord, I ask that you ring this in the spirit of the ears that hear this. Flow out in convicting, convincing, healing, miraculous power through my hearers and to their children. Lord, I call for salvations. I call for healings. I call for health. I call for academic success. I call for success in the workplace. I call for leadership. I call for a turning around of this culture. I call for a revival, an awakening. Lord Jesus, let us be ready when you come. And come, Lord Jesus. We love you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you with all of our hearts. We thank you. Be exalted and magnified for all that you have done for us humans and for our children. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
God wants you healed. That's right. Forget about why God may not want you healed. He does want you healed, well and healthy. And in Sharon Sarles' new book, God Wants You Healed, she shows you this from a biblical perspective. This new book is available now and can be obtained in either a downloadable format or in hard copy at www.greatshalom.org. That's www.greatshalom.org. And remember, God wants you healed.
Hey, won't you participate? You know, this is supposed to be social media. Even though it's a broadcast, you're supposed to write me back. Yeah, why don't you do that? You can write regular mail at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Once again, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Or you can go onto the website. There's blog capabilities there. There's a PayPal button. There's all kind of resources. And that's www.greatshalom.org. Triple W, great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M.org. And of course, email info, at greatshalom.org. And you're invited to sign up for my tweets. I try to tweet something encouraging. I'm often thinking about teachers when I'm doing Twitter. So please let me know what you need. I want to partner with you. And of course, I invite you to partner with us. And we are a 501c3 frugal ministry. We would love to help you out. We've got some free things on the website, www.greatshalom.org. And this is Sharon Sarles reminding you once again that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.